It is a magnificent Monday. It is You Better You Bet. It's Nick Costos. It's Ken Barkley. It's you here with us on the BetQL Network, simulcast for the next 2 hours by our friends at Stadium, and it's going to be a badass 2 hours of wagertainment coming your way. 20 minutes from now, Eric Eager from Sumer Sports, one of our absolute favorites, stops by talking all things NFL draft, and if things are going to get haywire, how's it going to get haywire? And can we profit off of it? And how? Eric Eager joins us in 20 minutes. Ken and I will roll through kind of the same topic 40 minutes from now. If the consensus top 10 is flipped upside down, how is it going to happen? What are some potential bets we can place as a result? That's coming up in 40 minutes. Next hour on the show, we get back to the NBA postseason. We did a lot of NBA postseason in the first hour, including like how to bet the Denver Nuggets to win the NBA title, if you still like Denver to win the championship. And really, how could you not? Search You Bet wherever you find your podcast if you want to check it out. We'll get to a lot of the other series in the NBA postseason, how we're viewing some of these game twos, how we're viewing the series moving forward, and the whale capper Drew Dinsick will join us as well from NBC Sports. All our bets for tonight coming up in the final hour, the power hour of the show, and we'll touch on the NHL postseason as well from the weekend. But joining us right now to kick off the fun and frivolity in our stadium 2 hours, joining us live from the road on assignment right now is our good friend Adam Chernoff, and it's been a while since we welcomed Chern to the show, so it's great to welcome him back here to You Better You Bet. Chern does an awesome job for our friends over at Right Angle Sports, has a great NFL newsletter that you can subscribe to over at his Twitter account at Adam Chernoff and adamchernoff.com. Chern, welcome back to You Better You Bet. It's Nick and Ken. How's it going?
Going well, guys. Thanks for having me. Hopefully the sound quality holds up here on the move, but good to be chatting draft with you. It's a fun week ahead for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. NFL draft. Nick and I did a ton of NBA and Stanley Cup playoffs too. Adam, you sound totally fine, by the way. Sound great, actually. Hopefully having a fun trip where you are. And I just want to ask you before we get into like specific bets or, you know, I know you have a mock draft, I think, that you were promoting, and you can do that here as well, obviously. Just, I feel like every year that goes by, I start to kind of be like, is this the point where betting the draft stops being like a good idea, whether it's because of misinformation or lack of information on like the team side or like the betting markets? Maybe they're like just sharp enough. Maybe the limits are too low to do anything. Like, it's just every year I kind of question it. And then I'm kind of like, I guess it's still pretty good. Like, how confident are you that like you can have a good draft this year with everything that's going on?
Not high, and I say that because Nick hinted at a consensus top 10. I don't think there is a consensus top 10. I think we know pretty well like which players are going to fall in that, but the order and which they might go is incredibly hard to predict because of this Minnesota possibly trading up, because of the Chargers wanting to go back. It's really, really hard, and all of those scenarios are going to kind of impact what we see basically from picks 6 to 16 or 17, and that could just throw everything off. And so I think what we've seen is the really good stuff has got to kind of the premium price that you typically get to this week. It's got to that point earlier, and now we have a couple things that could really shake things up and really push a lot of defensive guys down the board. So it's not a very high level of confidence that you're going to have a slam dunk draft this year like it has been in recent years.
All right, Chern, well, you mentioned picks 6 through 16 may be getting a little haywire, which leads me to believe, and I'll give you the opportunity to say whether this is true or not, that you kind of like fall in line with what a lot of people are thinking about like picks 1 through 5. Like, Caleb Williams is going to be the first overall pick. I think that's the one thing we're all pretty certain about. So Caleb going to go number 1. I'm guessing you think it'll be some combo, Jaden Daniels and Drake May going 2 and 3. Maybe you like Daniels. He's the betting favorite right now. Daniels goes second. Drake May goes third. Marvin Harrison goes 4th overall to the Arizona Cardinals. And then maybe that's where the Minnesota Vikings go up to 5 with the LA Chargers to go get their quarterback, presumably going to be J.J. McCarthy, before my New York Football Giants go on the clock at number 6 overall. And then 6 through 16 is where you said you could see things maybe start to get crazy. Do you think that's going to be the top 5 in some way, shape, or form, what I just laid out? Maybe it's May 2nd and Daniels 3rd. Maybe it's Neighbors 4th instead of Harrison. But you think that that's how the top 5 is going to play out, Adam?
I do. I think it's Williams, May, Daniels, and then again from there. It's. I don't think that we see a scenario where Arizona has to trade back because they have so many picks and because they really want Marvin Harrison based on everything that we've heard. It really becomes a question of, does Minnesota come up for a QB? If they do, I think they probably want to get to five, because we've seen Harbaugh for the Chargers says, come on, make us an offer and make it good. And they'll move back. And then we know the Chargers want to go offensive lineman. And then, Nick, I think we see Neighbors go to your Giants at six. And from there, depending on whether or not we see the Vikings trade, that's where things get really interesting.
Adam, I have to ask you before we get to we keep like putting off the most interesting part of the draft, I guess. But I mean, I'm sure some people raise their eyebrows when you kind of casually go like, well, I have May 2nd, because if you look at the betting markets right now, and I know these have been moving back and forth and kind of fast and furious with Daniels got out to a big favorite to be the second overall pick. There was a ton of interest in Drake May. Things got back to, I think Circa was dealing minus 110 each way about 48 hours ago on who the second overall pick was going to be. Now we're back out to Daniels being a big favorite again. Just like, you don't have to kind of share everything. Just maybe a little bit on what goes into like your thought process as you put together your mock, like a little bit of information, I'm guessing, a little bit of opinion as to why you would have Drake May going second, despite the fact that Daniels is the favorite in that market to go second overall.
Well, Adam Peters, GM for Washington, has intentionally leaked nothing. Like, that's something that has been a stance that he has taken long before he got to Washington and his previous stops along the way. And so to me, everything that has shifted this from our original stance that we were sort of force fed from all the draft analysts and people who were looking at this back in March and February was that May was going to be the best fit to go number two. And anything that has moved it from that, to me, has been speculation. I've watched and read a lot about the draft, and the one team that really stands out as giving us nothing has been Washington at two. And so, to me, this has been quite a big rise for Daniels. I'm under the sort of assumption, based on what we've seen and what we have not heard from Washington, that that's still holding, that May is going to be their guy at two. Again, it's not like a team source or anything I have that's breaking news. I'm just like, I don't see a lot other than speculative reports that are making me think that that is going to change. And so that's really the long and short of why I've been hanging on to May at two.
Adam Chernoff is with us right now from Right Angle Sports. His website, adamchernoff.com, is a great NFL betting newsletter that you can subscribe to on his Twitter account, at Adam Chernoff. Chern's going to release his mock draft, just promoted this on his Twitter feed. Going to have a Twitter Spaces on Tuesday. People can check that out if they are so inclined. If it's true, Adam, and I'm going to ask Eric Eager this question next segment, Ken and I will talk about it later this hour. If it's true that Adam Peters has leaked nothing to the media, so the idea that everyone thinks it's going to be Jaden Daniels, let's kind of like play against that, right? And this is not me like setting, like you could legitimately think for good reasons that it would be Drake May. I guess my question would be, if we don't know anything, is it possible that it's just J.J. McCarthy and he's the pick at number two? You get a better price there at 12-1. So like Ken said, like if you've got like information that you think it's going to be May, you can share that. You don't have to share that. But that's kind of, I'm operating like, if this is going to get nuts, how nuts can it get in my best George Costanza voice? If we don't know anything, why can't McCarthy just be the second pick at a longer price?
It could happen. I don't think anybody can confidently say they know anything about what is going to happen with Washington, because we just haven't heard anything. Now, if McCarthy goes two, that brings up a big question of what happens at three. I think there's confidence the Pats stick and take a guy, but the presumption has been that it's going to be whoever's left between May and Daniels. Now, if McCarthy goes two, that really changes things, because we have a pretty good clip from Daniel Jeremiah, who's locked in with Bucky Brooks on his podcast, saying the Vikings really want to make a run at May. Now, it was thought that number two for May was too expensive. But then, like, does that open up May at three? Does that mean that they want to get ahead of anybody else trying to jump up, like a Denver or L.A.? Like, that makes it really interesting. So if McCarthy goes two, then we have just a complete mess here in the top 10.
I got to be honest, as someone with, like, no bets yet on the NFL draft, I'm kind of hoping for anything like that. Everything you just said, let's get nuts. Like, let's get really weird. Since I'm not like trying to like hold on to some CLV on Jaden Daniels as the second pick or something like that. I think we can finally get to maybe like crazy town, which would be like after the sixth overall pick or 6-16, kind of how you see it playing out. You mentioned all the trades. I mean, we spent a lot of time being like, well, if this team trades here and McCarthy gets here and this, like, that sets up the next 10. And, you know, there are some guys that are pens. I mean, how many times have I seen Brock Bowers go to the Jets at 10? We don't know if they're picking 10, and we don't know if they're picking Bowers, yet that's like the pick every single time because of all the things that you've been talking about. So give me like a couple things, like some wrenches that could be thrown into this. How could pick 6-16 get really, really weird in your opinion?
So seven could get weird because the Titans would go wide receiver instead of Joe Alt, who's penciled in at seven and even in pen by almost every draft analyst. But I find it hard to ignore hearing the GM and the head coach, who's newly in that position, both at the combine, saying if all things are equal, they would prefer the guy that can score points at number seven rather than the offensive lineman. Like, that exact question was posed to both of them, and they hinted wide receiver. So I think that could get messy at seven. We could potentially see Atlanta elect not to go edge at eight, or if they do, you could see a guy like Latu, now that he's medically cleared, go number eight. I think that's an interesting first defensive player off the board pick, around plus 225 currently. And then, like you mentioned with Bowers, like, I've seen Bowers go anywhere from 7 to 15 in mocks that have been posted in the last 24 hours. I don't think, as much as I would like it to happen, that Bowers goes to the Jets. I think Jets offensive lineman at plus 120 is still the bet that I would make at the current prices, because they really desperately need O-line depth that they just haven't had. And there's going to be plenty of opportunities in later rounds to add on different wide receivers. And so I don't think that Alt is as guaranteed as it is seemingly being at seven. I don't think Bowers is nearly as guaranteed as it's made out to be at number 10 as well. So I think Jets O-line, of all those things that I just mentioned, would be the look that I like the most. But let's see what Tennessee does at seven, because again, it's just really hard to ignore what the coach and GM have said about a wide receiver there.
I agree with a lot of what Adam Chernoff just said. Ken and I will talk about it a little later in the show. From 6 to 16, Chern, there's been a lot of chatter recently, especially as it concerns Michael Penix. Like, not as much about Bo Nix, but specifically about Penix, including, you know, Diana Rossini like tweeting today that GMs have told her that, like, Michael Penix is the best-kept secret in the draft. It's just like, if I'm Diana, I would tweet that also. Just like, what does that mean? And, like, why do people think, like, she's getting pieces of information like
not
that?
Anymore, he's not. Can't be the best-kept secret anymore.
It's, like, insane. And just to be clear, it's not a shot at Diana Rossini. Just, no. I would do the same thing if I were her. What are you thinking, Chern, if, like, we think it is a lock that at the very least those top four quarterbacks will be selected at least in the first round, if not in the top 10, on Penix and Nix going on Thursday as opposed to Friday? We have about 60 seconds for the answer.
No, I'll make it simple. I think they both go on Friday. I think that the sentiment around Penix is interesting. Is there a chance the Raiders trade way back late in round one? Maybe. I think both guys go on Friday, though. So I get the hype and I get the sentiment around it, but I think we see four quarterbacks on Thursday and anybody else is going Friday.
So, Adam, we can close with this then, because that's a good answer, obviously. And look, 4.5 quarterbacks has been starting to get reduced way to the over with the idea one of those guys is going to get drafted. The Penix draft position market's really funny, too. It's like 32.5, but started to be some interesting movement on that. In like 60 seconds to close here, anything else about the first round that you think is interesting? I know a lot of people have started betting like long shot players to get drafted in the first round, some of the receivers at the bottom, positional stuff. Anything else that you think is interesting in the first round in, let's say, 45 to 60 seconds?
Yeah, I'm pretty adamant on defensive players over 10.5. And the reason I say that is because I think there's going to be such a run on these premium O-line and wide receivers in the first like 12 picks that we're going to see a lot of these very highly rated defensive players remain high and available on a lot of these boards for teams. And we might end up seeing teams in the mid to high 20s and even the low 30s see some of these defensive guys on the board and end up trading up into the high teens. And so I think because there's so many wide receivers that are going to be highly rated on day two, we see a premium on defensive guys late on Thursday. So that over 10.5 for defensive players is a bet I like. I think realistically, when you're looking at it, there could be as many as 13 on day one. I think 11 is the number that comes through. But I mean, you're looking at 8 or 9 guys that are priced very high, like minus 600 and up to go day one. Then you have all these fringe guys that are minus 250, minus 300, that gets you to like 12 or 13 guys that could potentially go. So I think defensive players over 10.5 would be kind of my stance with a lot of these teams late on Thursday, looking defense just because of who ends up sliding.
Chern is on Twitter at Adam Chernoff. People can check out adamchernoff.com and subscribe to his newsletter, the Right Angle Sports app, a mock draft being released soon from our pal Adam Chernoff. Chern, we sincerely appreciate the time. Safe travels. Good luck with the NFL draft bets, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks very much, guys. Enjoy the busy week.
That was a nice little surprise there from our guy Adam Chertoff. Like we are gonna have like some really interesting conversations a little later in the show, and an interesting conversation coming up next on the NFL Draft with the great Eric Eager from Sumer Sports. The show rolls on right after this.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.